Rock out is Stone Cold. The Hellraiser is back.
Here we go. Evolution of the Shield.
John Cena versus the Showstopper.
Hulk Hogan and The Rock in the same ring.
You will never take my place at the head of the table.
Undertaker with a Hellscape submission. Oh, my God. What?
My God, Michaels just kicked Cena's head off.
The Monday Night Wars have come to WrestleMania.
It'll be The Rock. It'll be Austin one-on-one.
Third and fourth, the Undertaker.
Do you believe in miracles?
The streak is over.
Hey guys, what's going on, and welcome back to Rivalries on the WWE podcast on this May 29th as we creep closer and closer to summer, and it is a great day here in Montreal. I know for most of you guys who are down in the States, you've been open for, I would assume, a couple months now. I'm not privy to that information, but it seems like up here in Montreal, we are getting back to normal. Some bar terraces were open today, and you can just feel it's a very, very good vibe in the air, and I have a very good feeling about this summer for everyone. If you're in the States or Canada, overseas in Europe, Australia, wherever you may be, Middle East, I think that this summer is going to be a very, very good time for us around the world, and hopefully we could rejoice. You know, the Euro Cup is around the corner, the Tokyo Games, the Olympics is around the corner. Knock on wood that both of those things can get underway, as positive vibes out there for everyone, as it finally seems like we are starting to leave the COVID-19 pandemic in the rearview mirror. But we're not here to talk about COVID-19. We are here to talk about rivalries, and the rivalry that we will be covering today is Triple H versus Roman Reigns in 2016 that ultimately culminated for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship in the main event of WrestleMania 32. And this was pretty much Triple H's final rivalry as a semi-full-time competitor and a full-time on-screen character in a lot of ways. And I guess that's not entirely true, because he had the program with Seth Rollins the very next year, which I've already covered here on the WWE podcast. And I guess you could say that that was the last true full-time rivalry he had. But the difference is between this rivalry of him and Roman Reigns and the one of Seth Rollins, he took off about 6 months, all the way until right after SummerSlam, when he returned to help Kevin Owens win the Universal Championship, effectively screwing Seth Rollins out of the title. And then for the 4 or 5 months that preceded that altercation with Seth Rollins, we really didn't see Triple H, and he only really started coming back on a weekly basis. I believe it was after the Rumble. So while it was, I guess, technically his last rivalry, he wasn't a full-time weekly personality and character on the TV program anymore by the time he got to Seth Rollins, unlike what happened with Roman Reigns. And this all really started in 2014 when the Shield disbanded and Seth Rollins aligned himself with Triple H in the Authority. And we know that Seth Rollins went on to win Money in the Bank, ultimately ended up cashing in Money in the Bank to win the WWE World Championship in the main event of WrestleMania 31. And Seth Rollins really cemented himself as the top-level heel in the company during his run in 2015 with the WWE Championship. And you have to remember that during this time, there was no Universal Championship. We were still a year and a half away from the Universal Championship being debuted on Monday Night Raw in the summer of 2016. When Seth Rollins had this run with the WWE Championship for almost the entirety of 2015, save for the first three and a half months when Brock Lesnar held it leading up to WrestleMania 31, it was the year that Seth Rollins really solidified himself as one of the faces of the company. And it ultimately ended his title reign, that is, with him getting injured. I want to say it was early November, and I believe it was at a house show, if my memory serves me correctly, that he tore his knee in some way or something along the lines of that, and he had to relinquish the WWE Championship ahead of Survivor Series. And this is when you really kind of saw WWE trying to prime up Roman Reigns to be the next guy to take the company by the horns and really be anointed as the new face of the company. And they had been trying to do this for well over a year at this point. As soon as the Shield disbanded, you could tell that they were trying to maneuver Roman Reigns into that top babyface status in the company, but the fans resisted and revolted, and I think that's why they called an audible, rather, and for the main event of WrestleMania 31 and had Seth Rollins cash in one of the best booking decisions that they've made in modern wrestling, in my opinion. And when Rollins got injured and really just put a screeching halt to what it was in my mind a very good run as the heel WWE champion, it was almost as if they had no choice but to again try and force feed us Roman Reigns as the face of the company. And you knew it was going to be as a babyface because, the Roman Reigns we see now dominating and carrying WWE on his back was just, you know, we were all clamoring for it, but we knew we were just so, so far away from that because they saw Roman Reigns as the heir apparent to John Cena as that babyface of the company, that top level babyface and a guy that they could bill and book and promote as the face of the company. But there was one instance on Monday Night Raw following the reveal of Rollins' injury and the relinquishment of his title where Roman Reigns and Triple H had an encounter in the ring, and it seemed as though Triple H may have been making headway to get Roman Reigns to take a similar path that Seth Rollins did.
As of this moment, Seth Rollins is no longer the World Heavyweight Champion. And as you know, as the whole world knows by now, there is a tournament taking place. It starts tonight to determine who will be the brand new WWE World Heavyweight Champion. And to me, that seems unfair. It seems unfair that Seth Rollins is no longer the World Heavyweight Champion. And it seems unfair that while you earned the right to be the number one contender, it seems unfair to me that you just go back to the bottom of the pile and get thrown into this tournament and have to earn your way back up. It's terribly unfair. And the reality is it doesn't have to be that way. It could be a lot easier. It could be a whole lot easier. You see, it could be that you don't have to enter that tournament. All those other guys could step into this ring and do battle just for the right to fight you at Survivor Series to see who becomes the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. That, in my opinion, seems much more fair. And before you say anything, I want you to understand one thing, and I've never told you this before, but the reality of it is, back when we made Seth Rollins the future of the WWE, we strongly considered you first. And I mean strongly considered. All that time when Evolution was fighting the Shield, I was scouting. I'm always scouting, and I was looking at you. You have it all, Roman. The size, the strength, the speed, charisma, athleticism, the aggression, everything. You have everything you could want, except for one thing. Except for one thing, and that is the one thing that Seth Rollins had, was the willingness to do absolutely anything to be the man. You have dug and scratched and clawed to earn your way back to this. And you have met with wall after wall after wall. I can make those walls go away.
So you get the gist of what Triple H was angling at here, and he was trying to get Seth Rollins, or Roman Reigns that is, to take the same path that Seth Rollins did just a year and a half prior. And on a side note, this is the type of promo that you realize how good Triple H is on the mic, and he is... He's not the best. Like, I don't think he's in the same caliber as, let's say, John Cena or a peak level CM Punk or The Rock, but Triple H can really make you believe and buy into what he is selling, and both from a realism point of view and from a character point of view. And I really thought that when I was watching this, that they were maybe going to pull the trigger and make Roman Reigns that guy to just kind of step in for where Seth Rollins was. Because you got to remember that at this point in time, the fans were still rebelling against Roman Reigns. And Triple H, while he was still a weekly character and kind of playing like the Vince McMahon role, like Vince did, let's say, in the late 90s, early 2000s as that heel manager figure, he was still on the back nine of his in-ring career, and he was still in incredible shape at this point. You know, this is 6-7 years ago now, just crazy to think about. But I thought, like, okay, it would make more sense to shift Roman into Seth's spot as that top-level heel. And, you know, Dean Ambrose was catching fire as a singles babyface right now. And it ultimately led to Roman versus Dean Ambrose in the finals to this tournament that Triple H was alluding to for the WWE World Championship that was vacated by Seth Rollins. And when it came down to Dean and Roman, which was a predictable outcome, but again, the right outcome, like people wanted to see this, I truly thought that they were going to pull the trigger here on, you know, making Roman align with Triple H. And then you could build maybe Roman to Dean Ambrose at WrestleMania 32. And I truly think that, and obviously hindsight's 2020, but even back then, I think Roman versus Dean Ambrose at a WrestleMania, that's just money. And I still think that it's kind of criminal that no two members of the Shield have ever faced off at a WrestleMania. But that's a different story for a different day. So we get to the main event of Survivor Series, and it's Roman Reigns versus Dean Ambrose for the WWE World Championship, and neither of these guys have been world champion to this point. And Roman Reigns, again, predictably, comes out on the winning side. But after he solidifies the victory and achieves his first ever world championship victory, Triple H comes out to the ring to congratulate him.
Sometimes when you come so close and you come so close and you finally get to the summit, it becomes so special. And here comes congratulations. Special congratulations from the Balls. Official congratulations from Triple H.
And it's fair!
Sheamus is cashing in.
Sheamus is going to cash in. Sheamus is going to cash in. You got to be kidding me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sheamus is cashing in his money in the bank contract.
There's two. Kick out. Kick out by Reigns. Reigns is kicked out. Sheamus is cashed in. This match is now official. Trying to fight his way up. Here comes Reigns. Bolting again. Sheamus cover.
Here is your winner and the new WWE World Heavyweight Champion, Sheamus!
Are you kidding me? I told you Roman would regret it. Sheamus is speared Triple H, and he turned around into a bro kick by Sheamus. And don't tell me!
This is awful. This is awful.
Sheamus is now a four-time WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
So Sheamus cashes in the Money in the Bank briefcase after Roman hits Triple H with a spear and becomes probably the most forgettable WWE champion in history. And not so much him as a character, but more so this specific run as champion. Because to me, it made no sense. And let's take a look back to where Sheamus was at this point in his career. He had returned the night after WrestleMania 31 after missing 6 months due to injury. And he comes back, immediately turns heel with the mohawk and the new look. And at the time, he had dreads in his beard. And he wins the Money in the Bank briefcase. And they started building him kind of to the level he was at in, let's say, 2013. But this time as a heel. And with Seth Rollins getting injured and being shifted off to the sidelines, they choose to anoint Sheamus as this main event heel to take over for Seth Rollins and become, you know, Triple H's, I guess, figurehead corporate champion. And it didn't work. Just from the outset, it didn't work. It was weird. It was awkward. And I remember the very next night, he formed the League of Nations, which, again, I like all those wrestlers individually, aside from Alberto Del Rio. But the League of Nations with Sheamus, Del Rio, Rusev, and Wade Barrett, it was just a very bizarre avenue that WWE decided to go down because they had no one else to fill the shoes of Seth Rollins in the short term as the main event heel champion and the corporate champion to Triple H. And it was a very similar vibe. I've said this in the past, but the Triple H Seth Rollins kind of storyline was very similar to Rock and McMahon in 1999. And when they slid Sheamus into that role, it fell flat, and it fell flat fast. And I think this was just an instance where it could have all been solved if you just turned Roman heel. And I don't want to harp on that too much because now we got our wish and Roman Reigns is the best thing in the company and is arguably the best thing the company has had going for it in quite some time. So again, you know, we find better late than never. But this was, you know, 5 years ago, and we wasted so much time on just trying to force feed this Roman Reigns character as a babyface. And that's the reason why we got Sheamus becoming the WWE World Champion, because they refused to turn Roman Reigns heel at this point. And the Sheamus run was acknowledged as a failure by WWE Creative, because several Monday Night Raws following his cash-in, his successful cash-in, that is, on Roman Reigns at Survivor Series, it led to a WWE Championship match on Monday Night Raw, where Vince McMahon himself returned to get a front row seat to try and screw Roman Reigns. But when the main event came and went, it was probably the first time that we ever saw the crowd really get behind the babyface character of Roman Reigns.
If you're official John Cody, yeah. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean,
I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to count a little bit faster. You're going to be fired with Roman Reigns. Go back to cooking donuts.
What in the hell? Sheamus, why did he just push Reigns out of the ring? Oh, my God! Is this why?
Now we know why, yeah.
Rusev and Del Rio, the League of Nations.
Just like last night all over again.
And Mr. McMahon still has the official all tied up.
Mr. McMahon said there'd be no chance in hell.
How much more can you throw at this man? How much more can you throw at Roman Reigns?
It won't matter. He's about to be unemployed.
Superman punch! the Frog. Superman punch.
What the hell is wrong with you?
What's that?
Good night.
Oh my God.
Good riddance.
Roman Reigns.
Good riddance.
Kicks out. Roman Reigns kicked out. Reigns kicked out. Reigns is still in it. Sheamus can't believe it, but Roman Reigns is alive.
There is a desire. There is a fire inside Roman Reigns that cannot be put out.
Sheamus going for the death blow. The bro kick.
It's a good career, Roman.
Spear!
No!
Spear!
No!
The cover!
No!
Roman Reigns is
no!
So I think that was the first time and quite possibly the last time, aside from when he returned from his leave for when he got diagnosed with cancer. I think this was the first and last time the crowd genuinely cheered Roman Reigns in a victory. And it was weird to see, but I think it was not even so much them cheering Roman Reigns becoming champion. I think it was just more so that they were just so happy to see the lackluster title run, or title reign rather, of Sheamus end. And at this point, you had had Triple H written off TV, and Vince McMahon's coming back and trying to rekindle his over-the-top Vince McMahon heel corporate boss character that he had played so many times. And, you know, he's distracting the referee and just playing the old shtick, which, I mean, it works. I mean, it probably wouldn't work now because Vince has gotten way up there in age. But at this point, he could still do it. He takes a Superman punch. And even then, how many times did Michael Cole say Superman punch? Which means Roman Reigns hit it like about five times in a matter of 30 seconds. And kind of just a microcosm as to why people got tired of this character. But nonetheless, he wins his second WWE championship in less than a month, actually. And he's full steam ahead towards the Royal Rumble. But following this victory, you kind of have Vince and Stephanie McMahon trying to undercut him all the way along the way to the Royal Rumble. And leading up to the Royal Rumble, Vince announces that this Rumble will actually be for the WWE Championship, as opposed to just crowning the number one contender for the championship at WrestleMania. And Roman Reigns would enter number one. And obviously, Roman Reigns does his thing. He gets all the way through the match, all the way up until number 30, when someone that he was very familiar with made a return.
Right now, with number 30 on his way.
The thing about it, though, you're only standing tall. You want to get everybody out of the ring.
Oh, my God! Ladies and gentlemen, for the ninth time in his career, Triple H is in the Rumble match. He won in 2002. He's eliminated 28 men in his career. Twice, he's been a Rumble match runner-up.
He has the most cumulative time in the Royal Rumble, Triple H.
And more importantly, the game is a 13-time WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
So Triple H shows up number 30 to try and challenge Roman Reigns, who at this point had been in there for close to an hour, and become the world champion for the 14th time in his career. And it comes down to Dean Ambrose, Triple H, Sheamus, and Roman Reigns. And I gotta say, that the crowd was so behind Dean Ambrose here that you could just feel that, you know, that this was the guy they wanted to get behind. And it ultimately came down to Triple H and Dean Ambrose as Roman Reigns got eliminated third last. And as the match started closing out, you just felt the enthusiasm oozing out of the fans as how behind they were for Dean Ambrose.
Who's going to be champion? Who's going to main event WrestleMania? What a moment. I got goosebumps out here.
We on the verge of seeing the Lunatic Fringe.
Ambrose runs into a boot by Triple H.
Triple H can be 14-time world champion.
Ambrose! Triple H over the top rope. Ambrose's gonna do it! Ambrose's gonna do it!
Hold on, hold on!
Triple H still hitting it on! Is this gonna be it?
Here we go!
Triple H caught him with a knee to the face. How the hell is Triple H still in this match? Ambrose eliminated! Triple H is a 14-time WWE champion!
And there you have it. Triple H becomes the World Heavyweight Champion, or WWE World Heavyweight Champion, as at this time that's how the belt was known, as they had merged the two titles the year prior. And he goes on to win the Royal Rumble for the championship and would go on to main event WrestleMania against Roman Reigns, who would later become the number one contender. And it seemed as though they went back to Triple H just kind of like a safety net. They went with the sure thing instead of actually giving the fans what they wanted, in my opinion, and trying to go the way of, you know, making new stars. Like, I'm as big a Triple H fan as the next guy. I think he's the best heel the company has ever seen. Well, and certainly in the last two decades. But this was not the time for Triple H to become the world champion. This was not the time for Triple H to become the face of the company. It was not the time for him to become the main event of WrestleMania. It was time for Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose to main event WrestleMania 32. And that's just the simple fact of the matter, because we know the story. Roman Reigns goes on, defeats Triple H at WrestleMania, and becomes the WWE champion for the third time in, what, 4 or 5 months at this point. I find that, you know, the steam had really been taken out of the sails of Roman Reigns, even if there was steam to begin with. And him becoming the champion for the third time in that short window, and in a main event that no one really wanted, a main event that, you know, the fans kind of turned on and were fully behind Triple H in, a main event that was completely predictable because you knew that Triple H was not going to stay world champion, as he at this point was 5 years removed from being a full-time in-ring competitor and in real life does a whole lot of stuff behind the scenes and was at this time as well. It was just a very bad booking decision. And the other problem with this entire build to WrestleMania 32, which in my mind just was so badly booked top to bottom, is that you had a returning Shane McMahon who returned to the company after being away for 7 years. And he returned to pick a fight with his father and his sister, who were both playing over the top heels. And he came back to take back power of Monday Night Raw and turn the product around. And that story was tailor-made for him to go up against his brother-in-law, Triple H, at WrestleMania. It would, like, you didn't even have to make a storyline, like a fake storyline. The story writes itself. Shane comes back to take back power from his sister and his brother-in-law, and he fights Triple H for power. And I just don't know why they went with him versus The Undertaker and force-fed us Triple H versus Roman Reigns. And better yet, you had Dean Ambrose fighting Brock Lesnar in one of the most forgettable and underwhelming WrestleMania matches in recent memory. And everyone wanted to see Dean Ambrose as the world champion. Everyone wanted to see Dean Ambrose at this time be the top babyface of the company. They didn't want Roman Reigns. And look, in hindsight, it looks even worse because now we're seeing how great and phenomenal Roman Reigns is as a heel character. Could you imagine Roman Reigns as a heel 5 years ago against a red-hot Dean Ambrose who the crowd was just so organically behind and genuinely loved? It was just such a misfire by WWE creative and management what they did at WrestleMania 32. And look, eventually in 2016, they got it right. Dean Ambrose won Money in the Bank, cashed in that very night, became the WWE champion, but he only held it for 2 months. And he dropped it to AJ Styles, and AJ Styles was a phenomenal, no pun intended, world champion in his own right, but that was the only run Dean Ambrose ever had as WWE champion. And now, looking back on it, after his conversation with Chris Jericho and why he left the company 2 years ago, it makes perfect sense. And it's not even him being conceited, but booking him to go up against Roman Reigns in the main event of WrestleMania in 2016 was absolutely the right call. And if you even want to make Roman Reigns retain as the champ, then so be it. It's not even so much that Dean Ambrose had to become champion. But you heard in that Royal Rumble match, when it came down to him versus Triple H, that the crowd was so behind Dean Ambrose. And they wanted Dean Ambrose to be pushed to the moon. And better yet, another misfire for WrestleMania 32 is that they started building Brock versus Bray Wyatt in this Royal Rumble, and then we never heard from that again, which would just, that would have been a fantastic match as well, but it was just top to bottom, WrestleMania 32 was a misfire. And to circle this back onto Triple H and Roman Reigns, I think when we look back on this rivalry, we realize that this rivalry was kind of a microcosm of all the mistakes WWE did at the time of not wanting to let the new guard take control, not wanting to go with the fans' choice, aka Dean Ambrose, the main event talents in the company. They went with the safe choice and the veteran choice in Triple H, and they went with the corporate choice in Roman Reigns as the babyface instead of going with Dean Ambrose as a babyface and a heel Roman Reigns that they were just so adamant not to do at this point in time. And it's just truly a shame because we got a Triple H Roman Reigns match that no one ever wanted and the crowd turned on. And in my opinion, is one of the worst main events of all time. And not so much because the match wasn't great. The match was good. It's Triple H, it's Roman Reigns. They're both, well, Triple H more so, but they're ring generals. You know that they're going to put on a five-star match and leave it all out there. But the story behind it and the predictability, like I'm not saying you always have to swerve us, but for a WrestleMania main event, for it to be so damn predictable, like we know Roman Reigns is going to win, we know Triple H isn't going to hold the title past WrestleMania, like I don't like that. It's the same thing as John Cena versus The Rock at WrestleMania 29 in the second installment of their rivalry. It's just like, well, you know that The Rock's not going to hold the championship beyond WrestleMania because, oh, you know, he's the biggest movie star in the world. So where's the suspense in this match? And I don't, like, again, I'm not saying you always have to swerve or you can't always have a predictable outcome. But in the WrestleMania main event, I kind of want to be left questioning, like, okay, who's going to come out in this? Like, when it's just so predictable, the outcome, it really takes the wind out of the sails of any potential suspense that there may be, which in my mind is one of the best parts of this main eventing WrestleMania. You know, Rock versus Austin, 17, Benoit versus Triple H versus HBK at WrestleMania 20, HBK versus John Cena at WrestleMania 23. These were all the matches that we really did not know the outcome. And a perfect example, the WrestleMania before. What happened in the main event of WrestleMania 31? Seth Rollins comes out, cashes in Money in the Bank. And that, to me, you know, all in all, WrestleMania 31 is one of the best WrestleManias of all time, in my opinion. But that main event, that cash in, my God, the heist of the century call by Michael Cole, arguably the best call he's ever made in the history of his career, calling wrestling in WWE. You know, from them to go to that, to the very next year, Triple H versus Roman Reigns for the championship, I don't know. I guess reviewing this rivalry, it just kind of boiled up some old anger that I had watching this in real time because of the misfire they had on A, not capitalizing on how popular Dean Ambrose was and how much the crowd wanted to see him become WWE champion, or at very least be in the main event of WrestleMania. B, not giving us a heel Roman Reigns all those years ago. And C, just not having us, not giving us a Triple H versus Shane McMahon match for power of Monday Night Raw. That, to me, to date, and I believe at this point that ship has sailed, because who knows if Triple H is ever even going to wrestle a match ever again. But I mean, just all those three culminating into one, it just makes me realize how poor and untimely the Roman Reigns Triple H rivalry was. And I guess it's one of the more negative shows I've ever done over here, but it still is an important rivalry to look back on, because in a lot of ways, it is the lasting memory for a lot of us of Triple H as a full-time WWE competitor in the ring and a full-time character on screen each and every week. Anyway, guys, that's all I got for you today. As always, you can get me on Twitter at ADeMarco25. You can get Matt on Twitter at Wrestling_Audio, or you can always email him at RealWWEPodcast@gmail.com. And as always, be sure to check out our What If segment exclusively to the Raw tier on our Patreon page. So don't miss out and go over there and subscribe. So until next time, guys, stay safe out there, and I'll talk to you next week.